Good morning.
My name is Michael Metzger, and I'd like to welcome you to the Home Church Podcast. Thank you for joining us this morning. If you're a first-time visitor on our podcast, we just want to welcome you this morning. We're so excited that you've decided to join us. We have just a few announcements before we begin our time of worship today. First, just a friendly reminder that our church offices will remain closed until June 5th. All of our services are available on our podcast. You can access them from the church website, www.homechurchnv.org or www.homechurchnv.podbean.com. Youth group, if you guys are out there, listen up. This one's for you. We want to thank all of you who joined us in our Zoom meeting last week. We are going to be having another Zoom meeting this week, and there's going to be an email sent out letting you know when that will be, so make sure that you check your email regularly. Now, teens, keep in mind, we just want to encourage you that if you have any friends or family members that you think would be interested to join that meeting, please reach out and invite them to that meeting. Now, where are my kids at? Let me hear you guys make some noise. So guys, I just got to ask you a question. Who loved Miss Anita's video last week? I know my girls did. They kept asking to replay that video over and over again. Well, guess what, guys? This Wednesday at 7 o'clock, there's going to be another fun video just for you. And of course, the adults are invited to watch it as well. The video is going to be on our YouTube channel, Home Church NV, and it's also going to be on our Facebook page. Now, last but not least, we are having our weekly prayer meeting on Zoom tomorrow, Monday night at 9 p.m. You know, getting together weekly to lift up the needs before God, it's been such an amazing time, and we would love for each of you to join us. Again, tomorrow, Monday, May 18th, 9 o'clock on Zoom for a prayer meeting. There's going to be an email sent out with that link, so let's keep an eye out for that, and please make sure to join us. We're now going to move into our time of giving and worship. Again, we just want to say thank you for all of those who have been faithful in your tithes and offerings. Please continue to give online or drop a check in the mail. If you're unable to give online or by mail, please reach out to myself or another staff member or reach out to one of our board members. We want to make sure that we make arrangements to gather your tithe and offerings and make sure that it's received to honor God and support his work here at Home Church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your never-ending grace and mercy and faithfulness, Lord God. Father, we ask that you bless these tithes and offerings. We ask that you multiply them so that your work can be done through this church here in Sparks, Nevada. Lord God, we pray that your strong presence is known during this time of worship and praise. Father, you continue to move mountains through answered prayers in this church. We give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord God. Heavenly Father, we lift Pastor Carlos up to you this morning. We thank you for this man who loves you, loves your word, and loves your people. Let your words flow through our pastor today. We ask, God, that your message be welcomed with open hearts, open minds, that it fall on fertile soil. Father God, plant a seed within us today. Prune us and use us as your hands and feet. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. Church, if you're out there, I want you to stand to your feet. I encourage you, let's engage our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our attitudes in this time of worship, acknowledging Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for letting us come into your house, into your presence today. We worship you, Lord. Jesus cleanses us, makes us whole. And oh, the blood of Jesus. And oh, the blood of Jesus. And oh, it will never, never lose its power. Let's kick it off. Oh, the blood. Rejected, he He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. But then he died and he rose again with all power in his hands. He went back to his Father in glory, but very soon he's coming again. Oh, the blood. Despised and rejected, he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. But then he died and he rose again with all power in his hands. Very soon he's coming again. Oh, the blood, oh, and oh, the blood of Jesus, and oh, the blood of Jesus, and oh, the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Lord, what an honor and a privilege it is, Lord, to be in your house, to be in your presence today. God, we ask for your anointing upon your word. May it fall on good soil, God. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Testing, testing, mic check. Good morning, church. Thank you so very much, Josh. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it will never, ever lose its power. Amen. God is so good. Welcome to Home Church of the Nazarene this morning. We are so glad to have you join us for worship and word. And I also want to say thank you for joining us last week for our Mother's Day drive-in service. What an amazing time that was. Thanks again to all those who volunteered and helped. We so appreciate you. This morning, we're going to start a new series. And I've entitled this series, COVID-19 Can't Stop God's Blessing. COVID-19 Can't Stop God's Blessing. And we're going to be reading out of Malachi chapter 3 and some other verses as we go down. Malachi chapter 3, if you could turn there with me. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe that this word is going to speak to many veterans in the Lord and those who are new to the faith. And so, don't quit me now. We've been going this long. Don't quit me today. Trust me when I say this. Let God speak to you these next few weeks and watch him move in miraculous ways. Amen. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Let's read together Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. It reads, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." Bring all the tithe. If you're new to church and you're wondering what is tithe, it's very simple. This word tithe, tithing is giving 10% of your income back to God. Because really, it's His anyways. The word tithe comes from the old English word, teogatha. Teogatha, that's T-E-O-G-O-T-H-A. You can write that down. Teogatha, which means tenth. Again, today I'm going to start a series on money. And trust me when I say this, you don't want to miss any weeks. My prayer is that we have the right perspective, God's perspective, when we think about money, because if we don't, there could be problems. Even people with a lot of money, there's a saying, more money, more problems. And it's very simple. It's because they're not handling money God's way. So church, don't quit me now. Let's focus on what God has to say about our income. So my question I want you to write down, do I think about money like God thinks about money? Go ahead and write that down. Do I think about money like God thinks about money? Because if we don't approach money, or really life in general, from the point of view that God looks at it, he can't trust us with more, because our perspective is wrong. Most drama and problems is with money, or the lack of money. We get up and go to work every day for money. But I'm convinced most of us don't have money problems, especially us in the States. We live in the best country in the world, right? The home of the free, land of the brave. We're so blessed as a nation, as a country. I don't believe we have money problems. I believe we have management problems. Money management problems. And so, if we keep mismanaging the money, our situation, I'm going to tell you right now, our situation's not going to get any better. Most marriages, I would even say relationships, are ruined over this thing we call money. There was a train traveling through the West and was held up by these masked bandits. And two friends were on their way to California, who were among the passengers. "Here's where we lose all our money," one said, as the robber entered the car. "You think they're going to take everything, do you?" the other asked nervously. Certainly, the first friend replied. These fellers never miss a thing. That will be terrible, the second friend said. Are you quite sure they won't leave us any money? He persisted. Of course, was the reply. Why do you ask? The other friend was silent for a minute. Then taking $50 from his pocket, he handed it to his friend. What is this for? The first one asked, taking the money. The second friend said, that's the $50 I owe you. Now we're square. When Ricky and I first got married, like some couples do, we went out and got credit cards to build our credit. Our credit limit at that time, I believe, was like, I don't know, $500, nothing crazy. And the next thing you know, these credit card companies love us to death. We're at home sitting there, and we get some mail, and all of a sudden we got, wow, this credit company wants to give us $1,000. This one, next thing we know, we're at over $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 in debt with just credit cards. And what blows my mind, and that, by the way, that can bring a lot of stress. It's cool when you swipe the card, right? But when you get the bill and you realize, man, did I really spend that much? That can put a lot of stress on a relationship. And so what blows my mind, if we would have been making the minimum payments back then, 15 years later here today, actually going on 15 years, by the way, my anniversary is coming up, amen, 15 years. If we would have been making that payment, that minimum payment, we would still be paying on these cards today. It blows my mind. So in those early years, I made a promise to God that his portion will come first, right? Not second, not third, not pay the bills first, and then what I have left I will give to God. God doesn't want our seconds. With the help of some financial principles, we applied them to our life, and God empowered us within a few years, other than the house that we used to own, all our debt was gone. And that's going off of $10 an hour back when me and Ricky first got married. I can't explain it to you. I don't know how, but God moved. I remember we were really close to being out of debt, $2,000 left to go, and a check came in the mail for the same amount. And how many know when you got a check like that coming in, you start talking to yourself, you know? You know, God, surely he wants me to use this for something. Pay your debt off. No, there's a reason why, man. Honey, I think we need to let's go take a vacation. And I remember very clearly saying to myself, I can pay this debt off. And God said, do you remember what you told me? Do you remember the words in my word? And I said, God, you understand though, I gotta pay this first. If I can pay this debt off first, Lord, I can then give you what what you say in your word to give. If I can pay this debt off, Lord, this is what you understand, right, God? I gotta pay this off first. God said, no. Give me what's mine, Carlos. Don't rob me. And I remember where I was in the house and where my wife was and the discussion we were having, and Malachi hit me upside the head. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Turn there with me right now. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Will a man rob God? We're going to be taking a look on how to apply and what the scripture teaches when it comes to our hard-earned money. God wants to bless you financially. He wants to bless me financially. One thing I know about God, he's not a respecter of persons. If he can do it for you, he can do it for me. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. That's proof. He can do it for you. God is not a respecter of persons. If we're willing to take his principles, apply them to our lives, we will see his power. And so I want to lay a foundation of what's necessary in order for God to move in our finances. And I want to give a couple points. Here's number one, okay? But let's go to Isaiah first. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 through 11. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 through 11. Let's go there right now. I'll get to my first point. And when we're reading the scripture, I know some are going to be like, this really has nothing to do with giving, but yes, it has everything to do with everything we do. So go ahead and turn there. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 through 11. I love this verse. Here we go. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways, your ways, my ways, says the Lord. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God is saying, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So here's my first point. God thinks differently than you and I when it comes to our money. You can write that down. God thinks differently than you and I when it comes to money. We make the mistakes of making decisions based on human logic, right? Rather than God's logic and God's principles. And really, that's what got me messed up in the first place, because I didn't go by what God said. I went by what I felt, right? And we're human, right? That's natural. I went by what I felt, what I thought I knew, what I was told from someone, and this is very dangerous. What I was told from someone else who used to go to the church and didn't like the pastor, right? And they said, hey, I'm not going to give to this church because I don't like the pastor. But really, they're not hurting the pastor. They're not hurting the church. Really, when it comes down to it, they're hurting themselves. They're robbing God, and it's hurting. It's affecting them. You know, and so I was in the middle of all this. I remember this. And the point I want to make is you have a decision to make that you will either do what God wants you to do to have God's favor in your life, or you will keep doing it the way you've been doing it. Let's go to verse number 10 again. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. I'm going to send my word, and when my word finds its place, it's going to accomplish what it's sent out to do and will not come back void. It will do what I told and the Spirit of the Lord put on my heart to share with you, the financial principles, so you can apply them to your life and experience God's favor, God's blessing in your family. We say it one way, and God says it another way. All right? My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. We say we're important. God says, you're nothing without me. The world says, exalt yourself. American Idol. Man, I can go on for days about that one. The world says, exalt yourself. God says, humble yourself. We say, retaliate. God says, forgive. We say, keep. God says, give. He says, my ways are separate, are different. And this could be very hard for us to understand sometimes, but no, God is not giving us an option. He's not giving us an option here. Will a man rob me? How have we robbed you in tithes and offering? Luke chapter 16, verse 10 through 13. I want you to turn there with me. I'll give you a minute. Luke chapter 16. We'll be reading verse 10 through 13. It reads, verse 10, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. I want to stop right there. I want to tell you something. There's always someone, including myself, there is always someone who will say, when God gives me more money, then I will tithe. When things get better, then I will give a donation. God doesn't want our donation. He doesn't want our seconds. God says, I want your first fruits. And we'll get into those later, those scriptures later. God says, if you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. If we're not tithing on what we have now, we won't tithe on what we have later. Verse 11, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The scripture is telling me, it really is telling us right here, point two, how you and I manage money is a gauge of our values. Some would even say is a gauge of our spirituality, of our spiritual walk. How we manage the money that was given to us is a gauge. You can write that down for your own notes. How I manage money is a gauge of my values. We need to understand it's very important. God doesn't need to follow you everywhere to find out where your values are, right? The board members don't need to, which the board members love you. I mean, our church is a family, right? We're together on this. No one is perfect, right? We're all in this together, by the way, church. But the board members don't need to go to, I don't need to go to their house. They don't need to come to mine. God just needs to take a look at our checkbook. God just needs to take a look at our bank statement, and he can find out really where our value is. Where our values are. If you're listening in from out of town, which I know we have a few people who are, I want to give a shout out to all those who don't live in Reno or Sparks but are listening in. We want to say thank you. But if you know someone or even here locally, and maybe you're getting ready to be in a relationship with someone, and ladies, this one's for you. If this man you're interested in is pulling up to your house and parks and the rims on his wheels are still spinning when he stops the car, that's a good indication that his values might be in the wrong place. Okay? I said might. The rims on his wheels are still spinning when he stops the vehicle, that's a good, maybe take a second thought, you know, pray about this one, because again, values might be in the wrong place. Let me help a young man here. If the woman you're interested in marrying, if her clothes in a closet add up to more than the money she's saving or has in savings or giving to even the Lord, her priorities might be off a little bit. And I know we're in love right now, and the stars are shining, and nothing is wrong on the earth. Even during this pandemic, right? Nothing is wrong. You're in love, but trust me, this will play out in your relationship. It can affect your future. It will. I don't know if I got a single amen on any of those, but I'll keep moving forward. How you and I spend our money is a gauge of our values. It saddens me. Some people are paying more money to the cable company than the house of God. Pay more money for channels than the kingdom of the Lord. And then I wondered why God's not moving in my life. Again, there's nothing wrong with having all these things, but God says, do I come first? Will a man rob God? No, I'm at church every day. How have I robbed you? in tithes and in offerings. It's a reflection of what our values are. God does not want you stressed out about money, church. But he's watching how we spend it. He says, my eyes go to and fro throughout the land. He's watching. Can we be faithful? I got a question. Can we be faithful with the quote-unquote little that we have? Can he trust us with the little or plenty that we have? I asked myself, can God trust me? Have I been faithful? Church, God wants to bless you in such a way where people will say, how in the world did that happen? And you say, that's God. that's my life. That's me and that's my wife. That's, you know, we are there's so many we could be here all day long if I shared with you story after story. And there are people in our church that could share story after story of God moving. People say, how in the world did you get what? It's God. And he can give and he can take away, and I'm okay with that because I know as long as I'm obedient to him, all my needs are met. Amen. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you, church. There's no secret. There's not a secret tunnel you have to go through in the church or get a certain, there's no secret here. It's very open. It's very plain. It's in his word. When it all boils down to a church, God the Father, Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the one we worship, the one who died on the cross for you, wants to trust you. But the question is, do you give him your first fruits? Do you honor him with the first fruit? 10%. Before paying anything else, this is don't quit me now. Don't quit me now. This is where rubber meets the road right here. God says, try me. He says, test me. That's God normally don't say that. He says, try me. Do you give him your first fruits before anything else? Are you showing God that you trust him to take care of all your needs? Because that's all he wants. That's all God wants. He just wants you. He's your father. Do you trust me? Do you trust me enough that, yes, things are tight. Man, only $100 came in this week. Well, God, this $10 is for you. You come first. I only got $300 that came in this week. Well, guess what? Lord, $30 is for you. But you don't understand. God says, will a man rob me? How have you robbed me? In tithe and an offering. You know, I was thinking to myself, with the prices of everything going up in the world these days, aren't you glad the Lord hasn't raised or increased the tithe to 15, 20%? Everything else has gone up, and it blows my mind. And I'll be honest with you. I used to think the same way. Sometimes, man, the church, all they want is my money. When we haven't preached on money in years, All the church wants is my money, right? This is me talking to myself. And the world is raising everything. Inflation, everything is going up, but God's word stays the same because our God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He doesn't go by our economy. He doesn't look at the stock market and say, okay, well, I guess the tide this week is going to be 5% to bring things. No. He says, trust me, 10%, that's my word. Will a man rob God? Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word never changes. And I want to say, church, when I speak about blessings, this is not a give to get rich sermon, because I don't preach that. This is not a give to get $1 million. This is not what that is. We don't give to get. Amen, church. We don't give to receive. There's more to blessings, when I speak of this word blessings, than just money. The peace of God, knowing that He will take care of you, that all your needs will be met. A peace that surpasses all understanding, knowing that you're in His will, that you're trusting Him, that can surpass anything money could buy. So, church, the question is, are we giving our first fruits? Amen. I want to change the order of service this morning. Maybe you're here with us listening in, and this is maybe a little new to you. Again, let this encourage you. If you have questions, you can call me. We can go over scripture. We can talk. I'm very excited about this series. But most importantly, maybe today you're listening in and you know that this God we're speaking of, this Creator, He's not living in your heart. He's not in you. And I would encourage you this morning as we sing worship with our brother, as we sing praises to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that you invite Him into your life. You invite Him into your heart and say, God, come into my heart, come into my life. I surrender my heart to you. I surrender my life to you. I surrender all. Lord, I've been doing this on my own, And yes, I do have a lot of money, but man, there's no peace. There is no peace. Let God take control of your finances. Let God take control of what you have, little or much, and watch God move in your life like never before. We say, God, this is not mine, Lord. It all belongs to you. It all belongs to you. Hallelujah. We serve an amazing God. I want to take this time just to reflect on God's goodness and what was spoken this morning. I want you to take a little time right now and just let it sink into your soul, into your heart, and let go of this mentality of, because it's hard. That's where faith comes in, right? That's where we step out on the water. This does not make sense. There's some things I got to do first. God says, no. Honor me. Right? And I will show myself to you. Hallelujah. Again, if you don't know Jesus this morning, I want to encourage you to give your life to Christ. Honor him with your life. Surrender to him. Hallelujah.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks.
Hallelujah this morning. Amen. This morning, church, again, I want to encourage you. To honor God with your first fruits. And I want to encourage you, this is going to be an amazing series. We're going to be going through and talking about what God does and when we're at our lowest, and we're going to be looking into this. And so I want to encourage you, don't miss any weeks. Let this change your life from here on out. Even I would encourage you right now, those who are in the middle on this, who are not too sure, write the date down right now on the calendar and honor God's word and watch what happens. Remember, COVID-19 can't stop God's blessing. Have a wonderful Sunday. We love you. God bless.
Thank you again for joining us on the Home Church podcast this morning. Pastor, thank you for another amazing message. Church, I got to tell you, I am so excited about this series because it hits very close to home for me. I just want to tell you really quickly, a couple of years ago, when my wife and I were at our lowest point, when we made that decision to remain faithful to God and to give our tithes and offerings, ever since that day, God has remained faithful, and the floodgates of heaven have opened for our family. If you guys have questions, I encourage you, please reach out to me. This is something that I love to talk about, that I love to share. Again, we thank you for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you next week for part two of Pastor Series of COVID-19 Can't Stop God's Blessing. We hope to see all of you tomorrow night at 9 o'clock for our Zoom prayer meeting. Thank you again for joining us. Have a blessed day. Of pride.